I wouldn't ever want to just milk the goats and sell someone the milk. I would want to put all that effort and energy into looking after the goats, creating perfect milk and making beautiful cheese with it.
Our milk is so precious that if we lose a litre, it's devastating for us. And we don't even in winter drink our own milk because the milk's low and we want to put it into our cheese. My name's Anne-Marie Monda and I'm a co-owner with my partner,
Carla Mers.
We live and farm here at Sutton Grange and our cheese that we produce is Holy Goat cheese.
This is The Producers. I'm Danny Vallant. Holy Goat is one of Australia's longest running and most respected and enjoyed goat cheese producers. It's made at Sutton Grange, 204 acres of rolling granite plains in Jar Jar Warren country. It's 150 kilometres north of Melbourne, 20 kilometres east of Castlemaine and 30 kilometres south of Bendigo. Carla Mers and Anne-Marie Monda make fresh, rind-ripened and semi-hard cheeses that each tell their own story of milk quality, the health and happiness of the goat herd and the soils and pastures that support them.
The only farming background I had is, as kids, we lived in Warrnambool and we had family friends who had a farm, and I was the sort of kid who liked to spend a lot of time at the farm. So I did go and stay at the farm doing crazy things and trying to find ways we could jump off a fence onto the back of a pony. We didn't ever succeed, but anyway.
I grew up in Melbourne, where the orchards used to be, and they were, you know, turning into housing estates. So it was, we had the creek still at the back and we had tortoises and kookaburras and snakes. But I did have an interest in animals. You know, I was always, I had ducklings, and then I did get goats when I was 16. And then I studied agriculture when I was 18 because, you know, give me the girl when she's seven and I'll show you the woman. And it was, I think that's so true, because I thought, will I study accounting or will I study agriculture? What's more important, food and water? And even then I had a very powerful desire to do good with what I was going to do with my life. So I had goats then, and I always wanted a herd, and then studied agriculture for 4 years. So the seed was sown. We have lived here for 22 years. So when we came to this farm in 1999, we came with the intention to live and work with goats.
And in living and working with goats, we'd had some experience overseas and in Western Australia working with goat herds. And so we had an idea, and they were both dairy goat herds. So it was lovely to look at a property like this and an aspiration to have a dairy goat herd and to make cheese and to be able to find a really beautiful property in suitable goat country. You don't want wet country for goats because they're dry land animals. They'll either be up mountains or in deserts. They don't do well in the wet. Their hooves aren't made for it. So it was an amazing thing to find a property as beautiful as this, just right where we wanted it to be.
Holy Goat is much more than a name. It's a shorthand for the reverent way that everything is done here. Carla and Anne-Marie's guiding principles are sustainability, quality, generosity and compassion for land and water, for the people who work on the farm and make the cheese, and of course for the goat herd, without which none of this would be possible.
It was a controversial time because I'm a lapsed Catholic, and I found that it was quite sacrilegious to use the word holy and goat together. But I'd have to say it so suits how we want to be with goats and farming with them and living with them, because in a way we're reverential and respectful to them, because we exist here as a cheese, as cheese producers, because we have these extraordinary animals that provide milk to us, and joy and fun and just living with a herd of animals. It's almost an archetypal experience, and we could be a Mongolian camel herders or yak herders, because basically every day we are with the goats and living that life. So Holy Goat does really underpin everything we feel for these beautiful animals. So I don't find it sacrilegious anymore.
I love the name Holy Goat, obviously. And part of it was because it's a bit cheeky, but also it's also very serious, because actually, you know, everything's sacred in a way. And so to say Holy Goat is to say, in having a goat herd and making cheese and working with them, we respect them as really beautiful and wonderful beings. So in a way, it's a way of holding them sacred to say Holy Goat. When we first were making cheese, and we were just making it in the house. We weren't selling the cheese commercially, but we had lots of friends who, the word went out that there were people making some goat cheese. And it was very interesting just to see how far and wide that story went, because when we'd go to our favourite cafe in Castlemaine, we'd have this little gaggles of people hanging out, hoping that maybe they would get some cheese from us. So that was a lovely thing. And by 2003, when we were selling, we also had just really tremendous support in the region, actually, from all sorts of foodie people would just got behind that product. They tasted the product, they got behind the product, and we felt so fortunate to have that, actually, because really a new brand, a style of cheese, goat cheese that hasn't really had a great profile at that time, you know, wasn't very known at that time. So we had some fantastic champions out there in this region for our cheese, people running businesses, running restaurants, running cafes, who just really, really gave us a great lift in terms of just marketing for us, spruiking the cheese, getting people to buy it. So, and then the farmers market started up, which was just gold, really.
I'd have to say the work of chefs has been really important for us. And, you know, chefs may be working in a restaurant or a cafe, and when they move, we move with them. I really love the work that they've done with our cheese and the way they've brought it into the everyday, because it can just be seen to be a cheese that, oh, you only get on a Saturday night to have with a glass of wine. But, you know, we believe that a good quality cheese is a cheese that you eat every day. And I think the chefs have helped do that on a day-to-day basis and in cafes. And certainly with the farmers markets that you mentioned, Carla, they have really allowed just the everyday person to have that as part of eating good quality food, good quality nutrient-dense food.
In terms of having a goat herd, you know, one of the things was, well, if you're going to have a goat herd, it has to be practical. You're going to have to look after them, feed them. And so it was really desirable for us to have an opportunity to be able to look after the goats and then collect their milk and then turn it into cheese. When we had worked on a goat cheese making farm in Western Australia, so we did have some experience in that. And I always said to Amory, and I'd say it now, I wouldn't ever want to just milk the goats and sell someone the milk. I would want to put all that effort and energy into looking after the goats, creating perfect milk and making beautiful cheese with it. And the thing is that as you make cheese, you know you know, lots about how good or bad the milk is from the goats and how well the goats are. There's a really strong feedback between the two. So it's a great way to live, to, you know, milk goats in the morning, make the cheese that morning and through the day and milk them again at night, and it rolls on like that. But you get also the pleasure of the company and the intelligence of the goat.
I think when food was turned into a commodity, that's when people lose respect for it. So if we just milked our goats and then sold the milk only and didn't make the cheese, even that begins the process of that milk becoming a commodity. But our milk is so precious that if we lose a litre, it's devastating for us. And we don't even in winter drink our own milk because the milk's low and we want to put it into our cheese. So that's the beginning of, like, really respecting every aspect of the cheese process, because we can be responsive to our goat's needs depending on what's happening with the milk, and the milk's precious because of that.
I suppose it's the desire, the knowledge you have and the subtlety of making cheese, all of the things you need to know, the textures, the smells, the looks, the way you need to adapt, just like you have to adapt with the goats and the seasons, the cheese as well. You just have to be always alert. It's not a mindless activity. And it's also a very, they're beautiful, the cheeses that we make. They're beautiful to look at. They're beautiful to handle. The ladling's lovely to do. So all the activities in the cheese room are good, except if something's going wrong, and then it's hard work trying to get to the bottom of it.
Mm. You know, we make a lot more from just making cheese. We just get such thrilling science experiments, such fabulous reading. You know, we get journals from America to explore alternative ways of treating humans, which we use on our goats. And so it opens up this incredible Pandora's box. Farming is just so extraordinarily exciting. I just get goosebumps thinking about how lucky we are to live here. So yes, the cheese is the product that we sell that makes the money, but we are just in this sea of exploration all the time.
Goats have been living alongside humans for at least 10,000 years, making them one of the oldest domesticated species. They are curious, agile, and intelligent, about as smart as dogs. The 100 or so goats at Sutton Grange graze on native grass and pasture-cropped paddocks.
Well, the most remarkable thing about it is they've got no top teeth, which really, really freaks people out, because they've just got a pallet, a hard pallet there, and big grinding teeth at the back for turning grass into this extraordinarily white, pure milk. They're ruminants, so they've got four stomachs. They hold a lot of their fat around their organs and not under their skin, so they don't like drastic changes in weather because they can't really keep themselves that warm. So hence, you know, central Victoria is a really lovely environment with long, dry summers and not too cold winters. They've got very strange eyes. They can see nearly 360 degrees because of where their eyes are sitting. So they're always watching you, even if you're at the back of them. And they respond to you very quickly, an arm movement, just even a knock of the head in a certain direction. And they're really, really responsive. I have to say, all of our goats are hand-raised, so we have strong connections with them, and there isn't that fight-or-flight distance that you have with most herd animals.
Well, we're at in the dairy at Holy Goat Cheese, and I've got all the young goats waiting to come up on the line. And as soon as we've got them all, because we've got a we want to prioritise some of the youngest goats to get up first, because they've only just kitted recently, and so we don't want them getting bullied by anyone. So we're just waiting for that to come up. And Lydia's down the bottom, walking around the sheds looking for any other little ones that we've missed out, so they all get up first. We milk in the morning, started about 6 o'clock, and we milk at about 3:30 in the afternoon, twice a day. Their peak milk is in spring, coming into summer, but spring is the highest milk because they've just it's just the natural cycle of spring. So now they're milking just over 2 litres each a day. But then it can be 4 litres or 6 litres or even 8 litres from individuals sometimes. So it's, so, but this is, we don't push the goats. They kid when they're 2 and then they keep milking till they're 4. And at 4, we decide of the 2 year, when those 2 year olds, when they're 4, which ones are really fantastic milkers and we'd like more kids from them. So they have a kid. And everyone else just keeps milking through. So some does are in a herd and they're 10 years old and they only ever had one kid when they were 2. So goats, if you keep asking for milk, we'll keep making milk. But apparently that's actually also true of cows. The house cow didn't have calves every year. Out on the farm, she just kept milking because people kept milking her. So a bit like wet nurses can keep lactating and feed lots of babies. Yeah, they're very interested in everything going on and everything that's to their interest, and they like their little routine. So these goats will all crowd around Lydia there because they know she's going to open the gate and they're meant to be first. And she's trying to get them first as best she can. So here they go. And they're pretty enthusiastic as they run up on the line. It's the noise you can hear running on the... Up they go. Well, they like being milked also because there is a pretty nice little mix of food there that we mix up ourselves. We make a mix twice a day in their little feeder. So that's pretty good too. Otherwise, some of the old girls probably wouldn't bother coming up, I don't think. The young ones probably would. They want to get rid of their milk, but some of them would think, stay lying in the shed. We spend a lot of time just checking on all of the goats. If someone's got a snotty nose, we give them some cinnamon and turmeric and vitamin C mix, things like that. And so we sort of, and at night, usually things are pretty smooth, unless we've got someone we're watching out for. And then we might look out for them. We might treat them with something. But mainly homeopathics and herbs and spices, actually. It's so cheap, but it works.
We're more cautious now about, I suppose, people's intentions for wanting to know about food or... for wanting us to be involved in, say, different shows or, you know, because it's like it becomes the flavour of the month and we want to keep this authentic, what we do. We don't want it to be just commodified in a different way where we just sell the milk, but also that it's not authentic.
And I think in that, Anne-Marie, it's also we don't want to become personally part of the commodity package. Because sometimes it'd be, you need to go and rep, you know, you need to be there to do this and do this. And I think actually, no, I don't. I need to be here looking after this farm, looking after these goats, looking after our team, living this life. Yeah. That's not, it doesn't go beyond that. But there's always a little bit of a pressure to, if you've got a cheese with some status, that you become a little bit of a weirdy celebrity person that people want to see and you to go here and there and turn up at things. And a little bit of that happened here and there and we've just realised it's just not the thing we're going to do and we can just be clear about that. It's just fine. Other people do that work, they're terrific at it and they probably really enjoy it as well.
If we could have small farms like this where you keep your product, your milk, meat, whatever, on the farm and manage it as much as you can, I think we would have less food waste and probably we would value food a lot more. And that's, and our cheese is expensive, and our cheese in a way really reflects the cost of making cheese in a humane, intelligent, careful, you know, with food safety in mind way that reflects, you know, our values and vision for farming.
I think there's something about goats and people. So goat herds have followed people around for a long time, and dogs have hung around with people for a long time. And I think probably there's a lot in the way goats, everything about their appearance, it's very attractive to us. They look you in the eye. They actually, their mouth looks like it's smiling. They might be growling for all we know, but they look like they're smiling. So they're very, and they're also quite tactile with you. You know, they're like rubbing their body against you. They like you to pat them. So they're people's schmoozers. So they've sort of learnt the reciprocity, is it, of the relationship. We get the milk. And they get looked after.
I would like to think that when people come to Castlemaine or Bendigo or Daylesford, they want to eat the local cheese. They want to be able to connect what they're seeing in the environment with what they're eating, and that they're proud of it. And I want Castlemaine people, not just Melbourne people, to be doing that. I want Castlemaine people and Daylesford people and Bendigo people to say, we're supporting our local producers by buying their product, and we're proud to do that because they're in our region, you know. The more we have that concept of terroir and what granite soil means to making goat cheese like this, and what this climate does to make the goat cheese, and all the things that terroir means, that grows regionality. That really grows regionality. So I think the more that we attach where the food comes from to the food, and if we can continue to do that in the region, which I think is happening more and more, That's the direction I hope we continue to grow in. Not detachment about this. Like every time you eat a beautiful piece of lamb, we need to be thanking that animal for that beautiful lamb. And every time we eat a beautiful piece of cheese, to just reflect on the amount of work and dedication that goes into producing that food. So if our region embraces that, and continue, and it has to a degree, I think it's, that makes me proud to be part of this region.
This is The Producers, a Deep in the Weeds production. I'm Danny Vallant. Stay tuned as we talk to some of Australia's best farmers, makers and growers. Follow us on Instagram at producerspodcast or contact us via deepintheweeds.com.au.